telling the virtues and talking about the gift of living in the divine will. We are going to continue with our study, just to continue with the virtues. We have been talking about the Ten Commandments, the theological virtues. We talk about the virtue of humility. We also talk about doing acts of humility according to what the Lord asks us to do in the Book of Heaven. We talk about how to unite ourselves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Last time we talked about that, and we are going to continue building on that foundation that we have done. The Ten Commandments are very important for us to lay down the foundations of the interior life. One of the things that we have to understand is that also when our Lord Jesus was forming Luisa Picarreta in the virtues and in the early stages in volume 1 and all the way to 11, we see that the Lord is interested in laying down the foundations for the spiritual life, for the interior life. So we have to be thinking about this also, the interior life, the life of the soul, okay? And of course, the Ten Commandments are essential for the soul to have that foundation and to receive then the gift of being able to unite ourselves with his will. Because remember, everything that we find in sacred scripture, everything that we find in Revelation is built enough to receive this gift. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices that the people made and did in the Old Testament were for the coming of the Messiah. And we know that Our Lady, by receiving the gift of being able to possess that will, the divine will, not by nature, but by grace. She was the one who finally made the incarnated Word to descend and to dwell among us. The coming of the Messiah, coming into the world, the promise of God, that love operating in our Lord, operating in the Blessed Mother. So we find that the love of God is an operating love, meaning that it's not a passive love, it's an active love that is constantly seeking us out. And through the Ten Commandments, God seeks out his creatures, calling the creatures to go back to obedience, to enter into the order in which he created us, and to come back to him through these 10, we can say, channels, through these 10 ways to return back to him. So we talk about the law having, as the true spirit of the law, having the love of God, because it was given out of love, not out of revenge or punishment. It was given out of love, God loving his people, calling us back to him. So we have to have that clear, and also to see now that this gift is to be possessed by the soul. Why? Because in the state of grace in which Adam and Eve were created, remember the book of Genesis, chapter 1. The seventh day God created, right? After he had created, God rested. He rested into the soul of his creature, making the soul of the creature that little heaven. So it's the interior life again, the interior life. And we lost that through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. So now we have to recover that. And when we see the life of the virtues in us, what the virtues do in us, is interior. Of course, it manifests itself, right, in the exterior, but it is the interior life, the life of the soul. So we talk about the theological virtues that are given to us in baptism, faith, hope, and charity. So through union with God, right, in baptism, that union with God happens. So we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, because wherever the Holy Spirit is, God the Father is, the second person of the Trinity, they are all of them together. The only thing that changes is that it is a different person who operates. So in creation, God the Father is present, Jesus is present, the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is present. But it is the Father who is operating. It is the Father who is at work, operating. In the work of redemption, it is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who is operating in the incarnation, right? And doing all the work of redemption. So now in the sacraments, we have the Holy Spirit operating in the sacraments. Operating. So it is the Holy Spirit who operates in baptism. God the Father sending his Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says, right? The love of God that is being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit in baptism is where this happens. So we receive the gift of faith, hope, and charity. God pouring himself out and filling us, saturating the creatures with his presence, uniting the creatures with him. So this true union happens in baptism. True union with God happens in baptism. As we grow older, this union with God is achieved, right, by living the theological virtues in a heroic way. So this is what happened with Luisa Picaretta, right? She lived the theological virtues in a heroic way. So this is what we are called to do too. We are called to be formed like this also, if we are to advance in the interior life, in the spiritual life. Because this gift is to be possessed by the soul. We talk about in previous classes how the soul has three powers, right? Will, intellect, memory, each one of them representing one of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. The will representing God the Father, the intellect representing our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit representing memory. So the potency of God is there, the love of God is there, the wisdom of God is there. But these three powers of the soul, will, intellect, and memory, right? The will produces acts. So the acts are the fruits of the human will. The acts are the fruits of the human will. So these acts, right, are produced by the power of the soul. So the will, we could say, is a product of the soul, belongs to the soul too, in a way. So in order for us to achieve this union now, we have to live these virtues in a heroic way, meaning that we have to advance in them. We really have to develop them. These are gifts that are freely given. We cannot do anything to deserve them or to obtain them, but they are given to us in baptism. It is in baptism that we receive these virtues. So as we move forward, in our understanding of the spiritual life, and that this gift is to be rested, to be possessed in our soul, because it is the interior, right? It is the interior life of us. Once we abandon ourselves to the practice of these virtues, we practice these virtues, right? Faith, hope, and charity. And we grow in the understanding of our faith. In the church, we speak of faith in two ways. Faith as a gift, as a theological virtue, and faith as knowledge. In theology, we call it fides qua and fides qua. So faith as a gift is given to us in baptism. Faith as knowledge grows, develops by us studying the faith. So in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you find all the teachings of the church. If you ever have questions about something, about the faith, go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's divided in four pillars. The faith, which is everything that we believe, basically the explanation of the creed. Then we have the sacraments, we have the commandments, and we have the life of prayer. Four pillars. So don't be afraid of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And through the study of our faith, right, through the study of our faith as knowledge, it grows in us too. So the image that you can have, probably that I can give you, is like the soul has two wings. And one of the wings is faith as a gift, as a theological virtue, and the other one is as knowledge. And one grows, right, with the study. And both of them, as they develop, they make the soul rise up to God, to the spiritual life, to ascend into the spiritual life. So it is important for us also to have this in mind, that it grows with the sacraments also. So through the practice of the divine law that is given to us, right, we can say that the divine law, the Ten Commandments, is like the code also. It's like the code to attain this gift, because it leads us already towards God, the Ten Commandments. It inclines our soul already towards God. It gives the soul a natural inclination to the divine, to the holy. It aligns the soul to order. And this is what has to happen also. In a way, the soul has to be reordered. You go back to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, you see that the Bible tells us in the beginning there was disorder, chaos, there was a void. So God starts creating, and he brings order into all this chaos and disorder. So after the fall, our soul falls into these disorders, the disorder of the senses, the passions, the human will. It disordered the soul totally and completely. It disfigured the soul. It rendered the soul unrecognizable before God. That's why we need redemption and we need the sacrament of baptism, to be reconfigured to the life of Christ, right? So somebody may ask this question, well, do I need to be Catholic to receive the gift of living in the divine will? If we lost the orders and our soul was disfigured at the fall of Adam and Eve, and if baptism reshapes and reconfigures the soul and aligns the soul to the life of grace, and we become another Christ in baptism? So there is your answer. So I leave that for you to think about. And since baptism is also a healing remedy for us, baptism is one of the sacraments that are created, instituted as a remedy. Before the fall, we see the sacrament of marriage. It was created in the state of grace. It was created before the fall. God blessing Adam and Eve, ordering them to be fruitful, to multiply. The rest of the sacraments, the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of anointing of the sick, the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of confirmation, and the Eucharist. These are healing remedies for our soul. No, the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of the priesthood, right, is not a remedy either. These are two sacraments that we find in the book of Genesis that Adam possessed. So that's for another class, but I just want you to be able to understand that because of the fall, then we need these remedies. So for you to think about if it is necessary to be baptized to receive this gift of living in the divine will, if true union with God happens in baptism for the first time with Him bestowing upon us these three gifts, faith, hope, and charity, God Himself. So tonight I want to go to volume 2, February 28, 1899. And in there, I want to go about this passage that will talk about faith. And we will see how this gift of faith is God Himself giving Himself to us. Connecting this and making the connection with the book of Genesis, that in the book of Genesis, when God rested, He rested in the soul of men. And by disobeying God, basically He expelled God from him. We could say He took God out of His soul. He took the rightful place of God, right? So God is restoring again in the sacraments. But this interior life that happens, that changes our soul in baptism and gives three gifts to us, it is very important for us to understand the gift of faith, because this will change the way we attend to Mass also, as I explained last week, that if you really and truly believe by faith that Jesus is truly present in His body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Sacrament during Mass, and that you go to the Mass, and when you go to Mass, you go to Calvary, that you go to offer yourself in union with Jesus to the Father, and you are going to sacrifice, you are going to offer yourself as a sacrifice and to offer your will. What Adam and Eve denied to God, now with Jesus, you are able to offer it again, to give it back to God. And because Jesus is the eternal high priest, the only one who is able to open the door of heaven, the only one who is able to introduce us to the Holy of Holies, to the presence of God the Father, then at that moment, you really believe by faith that at this moment you are able to offer yourself with Jesus. And not only with Jesus, but with the Blessed Mother, because the Blessed Mother is at the foot of the cross offering herself to the Father, but in union with her Son Jesus. She is there at the foot of the cross and she's suffering herself in union with Jesus, the new Adam and the new Eve, offering themselves, returning back to God the Father. And through that, giving us the possibility to have access again. So when Jesus says to the Blessed Mother, behold your son, and says to John, behold your mother, in there, she is becoming the mother of us all. She's given the task, the new Eve. And now Adam, the new Adam and the new Eve, offering themselves to the fathers. And not only them, but now bringing all their descendants, their children, back to the fathers. So if you really believe in this and you really use the gift of faith that is given to us, God himself, we can say God believing in us. God believing in us. So you will be able to see the Eucharist in a different way. And this is the perfect time during the Eucharist, the perfect moment for you to sacrifice your will, to offer yourself as a sacrifice. Why? Because we said, we already established, and I already explained that the will is one of the powers of the soul, right? One of the powers of the soul. So now, in the same way that the soul has three powers, right? And the soul offers herself to the Father in union with Jesus. Now, in the same way that Jesus received three nails, now the powers of the soul, the three powers of the soul, are nailed down with Jesus. How many nails did they use to crucify our Lord? Three. So at the foot of the cross, the three powers of the soul are being crucified again. Those three nails, they represent the three powers of the soul. And those who unite themselves with Jesus in faith and in this understanding that Jesus now is offering himself to the Father, and with him, all those who unite themselves with him, now the three powers of the senses become crucified if you unite yourself with him. So I want to go over this passage tonight that tells us about faith. And our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picaretta that faith is God himself, he says. Faith is God himself. If these gifts come from God, remember that God is always giving something of himself. In everything that we see in creation, we can see the image of God. There is something of God in creation, in everywhere we see. So if God gives himself to the creatures, God gives himself to the creatures in the sacrament of baptism in faith, giving this virtue of faith. So faith is God himself, our Lord Jesus says. Luisa Picaretta says, I comprehended that faith is God himself. Faith gives life to the soul. In baptism, the church teaches us that in baptism, we are born to the life of grace. In baptism, our Lord says, faith gives life to the soul. Without faith, the soul is dead. Without faith, the soul is dead. Faith vivifies. Our Lord says, faith vivifies, sanctifies, spiritualizes men. So this is what happens in baptism. We are born into the life of grace. It gives life to the soul. It sanctifies the soul. It spiritualizes the soul, right? It makes the soul fix. Its eyes into a supreme being, which is God, a supreme good. So faith also elevates the soul to the life of heaven because it gives a vision, right? Faith makes the soul rise up to God. So we need this virtue, and we need to cultivate it. As we grow older, right? Believing and then studying the faith, understanding the faith. Understanding the faith, the gift that is given, the teachings. So when our Lord Jesus trains or forms Luisa Picarreta into all these virtues, making her aware of all these gifts that he has given to her and that she has to grow into them. This is the same school that we have to follow in order for us to develop that interior life of the soul. We read here also that this is what Luisa Picarreta says. It seems to me that to a soul who lives of faith, it happens as to a person who possesses millions and millions, right? She gives this example that once this person possesses millions and millions and millions, and somebody will offer a penny to this person will disregard this, because it seems a penny compared to the millions and billions that this person possesses, it seems as nothing. So when we really understand the life of God that he calls us to have in us, in our soul, the possession of this gift that, by the way, contains everything, all the virtues. But remember that as creatures, we have to be initiated into the life of grace through baptism. So God, right, he acts in the way he wants with different souls and according to the missions. But normally for us, regular people, right, it takes effort. It takes the practice, right? Attaining the virtues. We spoke about the cardinal virtues, temperance, justice, prudence, right? Strength. And these are not given to us in baptism. These have to be developed by repetition. So if we see that God is faith, that God pours himself into the soul of the creature, gives himself to the creature, and that this soul is vivified through this gift, that God is constantly now giving himself to us in the sacrament of the Eucharist, that vivifies, sanctifies, spiritualizes our soul, right? If you see the need for your soul to be nourished just as the body needs food, material food, now you understand that the sacrament of the Eucharist vivifies, sanctifies the soul, strengthens the soul, nourishes the soul. Now you will be able to make the connection of the soul with the Eucharist that is needed. And again, seeing the life of the soul, the interior life that needs to be developed, that needs to be expanded. Once we understand that we need the sacrament of the Eucharist to nourish our soul, that is the life of the soul, that faith is God, and that the soul, by possessing this gift, by expanding the understanding of this gift through the study, that through the virtues, this faith also is being elevated. That the sacrament of baptism is essential for us to be united with God, right? Then you will see, you will start developing a better understanding of the other sacraments, and also a better understanding of all the acts in the divine will. That every single act done in the divine will, united, having this union with God, makes the faith, the gift of faith, grow in you, in us. Because the divine will is the source of everything. It contains all the virtues. But again, because of the fall, or what happened at the fall, that our soul became disfigured by disobedience, we have to walk the path that God gives us. So this takes time, because we are not trained in this way. It takes time for the soul to walk the journey. Once you see that faith, right, is God himself living in you, palpitating in you at every single moment, and that with the nourishment of the sacraments, this faith expands your soul, and the other virtues, they start to develop in you, right? Then you produce, our soul produces, right, fruits of holiness. So it is important for us to understand this gift, that it is not something that has to be, that is not there just to be passive. Because remember, the love of God is an operating love, active love, seeking always the loved one. So if God, faith is God, God living in us, and God is love, charity, this gift has to seek the giver. It has to be used to seek God And in this seeking of the giver, of the lover, which is God himself, this motion, this operating love, seeking back the loved one, right, is being exercised when we study the faith. The simple act of studying our faith is an act of love already. The soul seeking our Creator. So you see, God gives himself to us and he initiates everything in us through these virtues. So it's very important to understand them. It's important to understand that the virtue of hope, the virtue of hope is another virtue that is given to us in baptism, and is God also. God putting himself into the soul. And the gift of hope, it is very much needed for our soul, because faith leans in hope. So faith receives courage, strength from hope. Hope fortifies. In the middle of tribulations, hope strengthens the giver of faith. And hope is always, always, always elevating the soul through the gift of faith. Always strengthen it to seek the loved one, to seek the giver. So this gift of hope that we receive in baptism gives the soul the ability to reach the loved one, to reach the giver, to reach the source. And again, God knows our humanity, how feeble we are, and this in the stage that we are, that we need these virtues. We need them. Now, if God gives himself in baptism to us, there is no reason then for us, right, not to baptize the young ones, the little ones, because that will be an act of, if we understand this in the light that we are talking about, then that will be depriving the soul from receiving God himself. So when parents, they don't baptize children when they are little ones, right? Now, when they are depriving the soul of the children, the interior life of their children to develop, and in doing that, breaking one of the commandments. You are breaking the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. You are stealing the life of grace from the soul of the children. And if our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that faith gives life to the soul, the more you wait to baptize your children, you are giving death to the soul of the child one, of the little one. So you see how very connected, if we look at this in a spiritual way, if we look this into the spiritual life, the interior life of the soul, what happens into the soul, then you will see all the consequences. So how the soul has to be reshaped, reorganized, a new creation. A new creation. Just as in the book of Genesis, God is creating, let it be light. In baptism, the same is happening. Let it be light. Right? And he sends his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is light. So he sends his Holy Spirit to saturate that soul with his presence. And that life is maintained as long as the child remains in the state of grace. That as long as the child doesn't, as long as the child doesn't reach the age of reason, that the church tells us is around the 7 year, then imagine those acts done by the children, right? In innocence, in purity, they are acts pleasing to God, the innocent. The life of God growing in those souls through every single act. So love is another of the virtues that we are given in the sacrament of baptism. Love or charity. And love is God himself again. Love is God himself. Everything is love. In God, everything is love. What is charity? The love of God in us. If we see the attributes, let's see the attributes now of God. God is mercy, right? And what is mercy? If not love forgiven. That's what mercy is, love forgiven. So if God is love, is God forgiven? That's what mercy is. So we are called to exercise this gift of charity, of love in us, to become like God. This is what the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in the section of the virtues, 1805, that the virtues, they configure us to Christ. They make us more like God. Right? So if one of the virtues is justice of the cardinal virtues, and God is justice, is one of the attributes of God. What is justice? If not love, correcting. Making retributions. What is wisdom? That's another of the attributes of God, wisdom. What is wisdom? Is love. Is love teaching? Making itself known. What is beauty? Another attribute of God. Is love manifesting itself? And we can go on and on, right? To relate the attributes of God with love. The love that is given to us in baptism. The theological virtue. So is God again giving himself to the creatures to enrich the soul, to spiritualize the soul, to sanctify the soul, in a way to recreate, to reshape, to configure us to his son Jesus. And what is the gift? Why are these virtues so needed. Because remember, it's God who chose us. He chose to give us these gifts so that through these gifts that are given out of love, the true spirit of these gifts is love. That He gives us these gifts that we may find our way back to Him. And now with us knowing the gift of living in the divine will, through the knowledge, through the study and understanding of this gift, how it operates and how we have to be formed into this pattern, because our soul has to be reconfigured, reorder, that we may reach the plenitude, the fulfillment, the final goal of the spiritual life right here on earth, that we don't have to wait until we go to heaven to live the life of heaven, that right here we are able to begin living the life of heaven in the interior life of the soul. That God again is able to rest in us through this gift in a more perfect way. Then before, in the Old Testament, they didn't have this understanding. They didn't have this gift. They were waiting for the Messiah. Now we await the fulfillment of the Our Father. When we talk about the spiritual life, so we have to fix our eyes and to see this, that this is a spiritual life, that is the interior life of the soul. And that this union with God that happens between the soul and God in heaven can begin here now through this gift. And these are the conditions, some of the conditions. Some of the things that we have God operating in us already since baptism. Now, somebody asked me and sent me questions asking me about praying in the divine will, right? But when we do every single act in the divine will, again, when we unite ourselves with Jesus, Jesus is the key. When we unite ourselves with Him, your life becomes a prayer. You are able to glorify God even with the simple act of blinking your eye, even with the simple act of breathing. You are able to glorify God through that simple act. So that becomes your prayer, right? We talk about doing humility acts of humility. And that was one of the things that I asked you to practice. We found this in the first volume. Our Lord Jesus asking Luisa Picarreta to do acts of humility, to see yourself as a little child that cannot do anything, that is totally dependent on God, and saying to our Lord Jesus, come and do it with me. Teach me how to do it, because I'm a little one. I do not know how to do it. So meaning trusting in Him. It requires trust. It requires faith to believe that He's able to do it in us. So these three virtues, faith, hope, and charity, my brothers, they are very important. It's God Himself operating in us through them. It's God Himself giving Himself to us in these forms, in this mode, we can say. And through this, he operates. And he wants us to learn this, to be formed in this way. And then now that we know the writings of Luisa Picarreta, right? By doing acts of humility, by becoming nothing, he may be able to do everything. But remember, the human will has to be crucified, has to be nailed down. The three senses of the soul have to be crucified. And this happens at the foot of the cross when we unite ourselves to the sacrifice of Jesus. And it is very important for you to be able to see this, because then you will see the sacraments in a new way. Every time you go to Mass, you see yourself as an offering. You are going to offer yourself in union with Jesus and the Blessed Mother to the Father. You are going to Calvary. And for this, it is necessary the gift of faith to really believe that, yes, this is happening. Jesus is there present in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, the real presence of Christ. And that even though you don't see it, this is happening in your soul. That the interior life of your soul is developing. That you are creating the disposition for God to operate in you. And that even though you don't see it and don't even feel it, this is something that really happens at the foot of the cross in the Eucharist. Your interior life is developing. So it is very important to look this in a very spiritual way. In a spiritual way. Because it's the life of the soul. And the soul is spiritual, right? God is a pure spirit. Of course, we see in the second person of the Trinity, in our Lord Jesus, we see the incarnated Word of God. So, try to see the Eucharist in this way. Try to see that these virtues are really needed. Try to make the connection between the sacrament of baptism and unity with God. It is in baptism that we are united with God. And by living in a heroic way these three virtues, we attain true union with Christ, with God. And that by walking the path of the Ten Commandments, this is the key, the code, to also arrive to this unity. We cannot disregard all that it has been given, because the church always builds upon all that is given. We cannot disregard the Ten Commandments and say, well, I just live in the divine will, disregarding the Ten Commandments. No, remember, the Ten Commandments were given out of love to reorder the soul, to restore the soul. God is recreating the soul in a way, reshaping what was disfigured. So these things are needed, right? In the state of grace, God gave three gifts to Adam and Eve that they possess, right? Complete knowledge, locution, and What was the other one? By location, right? By location. So these gifts were given, we lost them. Now he gives us three gifts that are needed. These three gifts that were given to Adam and Eve were given for them to expand the interior life of the soul. Because with every single act, their soul was expanding. They were able to hear the voice of God, to bilocate, to glorify God. And the knowledge that they have was used. It was needed for them to fulfill what God commanded, to go and name everything around. So he needed to have the knowledge. So now, in order for us to go back to God, to develop the interior life of the soul, we need these three gifts: faith, hope, and charity. Right? They lost three gifts. We are given three gifts in baptism. In the disobedience, they love friendship and union with God. In baptism, we gain that friendship is restored. That unity with God is restored. Right. So all of these teachings that our Lord Jesus is given to Luisa Picarreta, if we see this in the life of studying the gift of the divine will, we see that they are very much needed. They are very much needed and for the interior life of the soul to develop, to achieve now the mystical union with God, not to wait until we go to heaven, but to begin here. To begin here, that unity that God wants with our soul, that correspondence, right? Our time is up tonight. I want just to open the floor for a couple of minutes. If you have some questions or comments regarding the class tonight. And before that, I want to ask Barbara if she can read one of the letters that come from Luisa Picarreta. Is letter 50. That will reminds us of what our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta to remain in this attitude of being like little children. We remember that in the gospel, our Lord says, blessed are the pure, blessed are the children, are pure. The reward for purity, to be pure is to see the face of God. And he reminds us that to the children, to those who are childlike, childlike belongs the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of the divine will. So Barbara, you want to open your microphone and share with us?
To Father Antonio, may the holy will of God be the continuous beating of our hearts. Reverend Father Antonio, Jesus alone can comfort us in our sufferings. Therefore, let us turn to him alone. Let us throw ourselves into his arms like tender babies. And if pain makes us cry, let us wet his paternal hands with our tears. And sweet Jesus, in seeing his hands beaded, will dry up our tears and say to us, child, have you come to me to cry? I want to turn your tears into joys, your bitterness into sweetness. I will pour the sea of my graces into your heart. So let us entrust everything to Jesus, even the lot of our dear homeland. He will dispose everything for the good of our souls. I hope you have already received news from your brothers entrust them to the purging souls. They will take care of rescuing them. Promise them some series of seven masses if they are rescued. I commend myself to your prayers. Let us pray very much in these times so painful. Prayer will defend us from the shadow of the enemy and will cover us with the divine shadow. The divine shadow will render us invisible to the gaze of the enemy. Best regards, the little daughter of the divine will.
Beautiful letter. You see, Luisa Picarreta is a beautiful, beautiful soul, a very good teacher, very spiritual, and so in tune with our time. So let us just open the floor for a couple of minutes to answer some questions or comments regarding the